Pocketbook Mystery. Now, in the quiet hours of the night, the lamplit library waits. The book lies open on the table. And out of the book, all things are possible. Love and hate and adventure. Greed and infinite terror. And mystery. Now is the moment of escape for imagination. The instant of release into the other world where anything can happen. Now the book lies open on the table.
Tonight, the book is The Circular Staircase by Mary Roberts Reinhardt.
Miss Reinhardt.
Yes?
Who was led down the circular staircase?
One man with two minds. One crazed by fear, the other steeled by terror. One desperate, the other tortured.
One man with two minds in tonight's story. The Circular Staircase.
The Pocketbook Mysteries, a new cycle of plays based on the 2,000 volumes of the Pocketbook Library. A dramatic cycle of suspense, action, and mystery, taken from the writings of Hemingway, of Reinhardt, of Dostoevsky, of James Cain, William Irish, Dashiell Hammett, of all the great storytellers who write for the readers of Pocketbooks.
Miss Reinhardt, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Miss Mary Roberts Reinhardt, beginning the story which she calls The Circular Staircase.
Narrow, winding, circular staircase, their steps ringing dull on the iron-coiled rungs. The two white-jacketed attendants hold his arms. The detective walks in front. They go down the staircase, down the chlorine-smelling corridor. They enter the office where the black lettering reads, Dr. Corman. They stand there, waiting. The doctor looks up from his desk, nods briefly. The detective leaves the office. The attendants follow. He is alone now with the doctor.
Your name?
Martin.
Where are you? Where are you?
City prison psych. Oh, doctor, why do we have to do this every time, every single time?
Where are you?
City prison. Psychiatric ward.
You know who you are? You know where you are?
Yes, sir. Doc, you got to do something for me quickly. You've got to. I'm going mad. I know it. I know it.
I'm going to do something for you, Martin, when you told me the whole truth.
I can't talk about it. I told you 100 times I don't care to talk about it.
Martin.
Yes?
There's a drug we have of sodium derivative. When the drug is administered, it permits the subconscious mind to speak freely. You've probably heard of it.
No, sir.
Something is buried in your subconscious. Something so deep, so terrible that your conscious mind refuses to face it. But once that something is out in the open...
Would I be cured, doctor?
You can try. You can only try. Shall I use the drug? Up to you. It's harmless. You've lost nothing if it fails.
Yes. Use it. Use it. Anything. Anything that will give me a minute's peace.
Lie down here on the couch. Pull up your sleeve. This won't hurt.
Oh.
That's all. Now, Martin, the drug is taking effect. I want you to begin counting backwards from 100.
What?
Count backwards. 100, 99,
100, 99, 98, 97.
Keep counting, Martin.
72, 71, 72, 73, 69.
All right, Martin. We're ready to talk. Why did the detective arrest you, Martin?
Why?
Why did the detective arrest you?
I went crazy in the hotel room. I pounded on the walls. I broke the furniture. I screamed out the window.
Why did you go crazy, Martin?
She came there to the hotel room. Helen came to the room. She was dead. I saw her die. But she came to the hotel room and talked at me. She's dead, but she talked at me.
Tell me just how it happened, Martin.
It wasn't the first time. She followed me everywhere.
Tell me just how it happened, Martin. From the first time.
First time it happened, I was in a restaurant with Judy. Sweet, lovable Judy. We had a corner table near the bar. Soft, secluded, low light. I held Judy's hand and we talked wonderful nonsense. Judy, we'll be married. Live near a wide, lazy river.
Married? We've just become engaged.
Oh, we love each other. Why should we wait?
So I can get to know you better.
You know me. I'm Martin. I came from a dark, horrible place where people hated each other. And I came into a light place where I found you.
Martin.
You will marry me right away, won't you, Judy? I'll...
What's the matter, Martin? What's the matter?
That woman sitting at the bar.
Huh?
That woman. That's Helen.
Huh?
Helen. It's Helen, but it can't be. It can't be.
What are you talking about?
Helen, she's come back to life again. She's dead, but she's come back to life.
Stop it.
Mary, you'll have to be quiet.
Helen, wait.
Yeah, I'll have to ask you to leave.
She's gone. I've got to find her.
Oh,
Helen!
Martin.
Yes, sir.
Who is Helen?
Helen is dead.
Who is Helen?
Helen was my wife. She's dead.
How did she die?
She died and came back to life. I saw her.
How did she die?
I don't know.
You know. How did she die?
I don't know.
She was your wife. You must know.
I hated her. She nagged. I hated her. Helen?
Yes, Martin.
I finished another story. You want to hear it?
Oh, you and your story. It's about the 50th you've written, not one soul. Why don't you get an honest job so we can eat?
Oh, this one's a little different. I thought you might like it.
Well, you thought wrong. I don't want to hear any of your stories. You understand? Not a single one.
All right, you don't
story.
Have to.
You meet a watchman at the foundry, and you write stories. Isn't it about time you did some work?
Helen, now you know
other women have decent clothes. Other women go out once in a while. Other women enjoy life. But me, oh, no. I stay home. I slave in a hot kitchen and grow old before my time. I sit and listen to your stupid story.
Please, Helen, let's not have another argument.
Helen, please, let's not have another argument. I suppose you'd rather be out with those lovely friends of yours slopping whiskey down your throat. I suppose you'd rather be listening to them telling you how wonderful you are, how wonderful that junk you turn out is.
Helen, I've warned you never to talk about my writing.
Writing, you jerk. You call that stuff
Helen.
Writing? Don't tell me. You and your phony sniveling. You've lost every job you had because you thought decent work was beneath you.
Helen, I've taken just about enough.
Oh, you have.
That's all I'm going to. I'm clearing out of here.
Your what?
The furniture's yours. You can make the last few payments.
Oh, I can I? Maybe you'll leave some of your precious stories to pay them with. And the grocer, and the clothes.
Helen, I'm through talking. I'm leaving you, and I want a divorce.
Divorce? You want a divorce? Well, that's the funniest thing I ever heard.
I want a divorce.
Oh, you do? And I suppose you'll find somebody new and tell her what a great writer you are. Tell her how she lived like a queen from your magnificent creative talent.
Helen, when you talk like that, I...
You want a divorce. Oh, you're funny, Martin. Really funny. You want a divorce. I'm the one who wants a divorce. I'm the one. And you'll pay for it, Martin. You'll pay plenty.
Martin.
Yes, Doctor.
How did your wife die?
We were divorced. I don't know.
You know.
I left her. The days passed. I don't know.
How did she die? You know.
She died. She came alive again.
How did she die?
No one will ever know. It was too clever. Much too clever for anyone to ever know. She said I had no creative talent. Didn't you, Helen? Helen, I'm speaking to you.
Oh, stop it, Martin. You've been drinking.
Only two. A little celebration. And tonight's an anniversary. Tonight, we're divorced 6 months. Tonight, we're 6 months apart.
Stop it, Martin, and listen. I only asked you here because the alimony is overdue again. I've got to have money for the rent.
Oh. Is this the Helen I knew, asking for money? How can you lower yourself to such a level, my dear?
Martin, this isn't time for one of your jokes. The landlord's been in to see me twice.
Oh, my heart, please.
This is the fourth time I've had to be late with a rent. I promised to pay him by morning.
Oh, did he?
I can't go on like this much longer. I'm getting sick. You don't seem to understand. I haven't any money.
And you don't seem to understand that I don't care.
Well, you've got to care. The money's due me. I want it.
You'll get it when it's good and ready.
Martin, you can't do this.
We'll see whether I can.
Martin, I'm sick. Don't you understand? I can't take this.
I'm going to make you pay, will you? Now, we'll see who pays.
Martin!
Now, we'll see who pays. We'll see! We'll see!
Go on, Martin.
What?
Helen paid, didn't she?
Yes, Helen.
How, Martin?
It was Helen. Helen paid.
How?
In a way she never dreamed possible. I'd be broke when she was hungry. Unavailable when she was sick. Out of town when she was desperate. I let her dangle to the end of a rope.
Martin, I'm seriously ill. I owe everyone a job. I've had all I'm going to take from you. I'm putting a stop to it.
Oh, really?
You've been selling your stories. You have money now. I've got to have my share. And if I don't have it first thing in the morning, you'll be in court this time tomorrow night.
Sweetly said, my dear. But believe me, we shall never meet in court. Tonight we leave each other with an even greater finality than before.
We'll see about that.
That's right, we will. Tonight, my dear Helen, tonight you're going to commit to it.
Oh, Martin, you're drunk.
Am I?
You think you can frighten me?
You're going to commit suicide, Helen. That's why I suggested we come here to the kitchen.
You're talking like a fool.
And you think so? I assure you, I've planned this for months.
If this is another one of your jokes...
For months? It was easy to see the divorce would never be enough to rid me of you. I asked myself over and over, how can I get rid of Helen without being hung for it? How can I get rid of her?
Martin.
I tell you, it was quite a problem until I came across this object in a store. You know what this object is, Helen?
Okay. Gas mask.
Yeah, gas mask. An army all-purpose gas mask with red canister. Excludes carbon monoxide, Helen. Excludes kitchen gas. Now, don't try to run, dear. The house is thoroughly locked. We'll try the radio should you attempt to scream.
Martin!
We'll look exactly like suicide. There'll be no mark of violence. I'll put on the mask. And open the gas chute.
I'll hold your head above the jets while I breathe oxygen within the mask. You'll become unconscious. Your body will slump to the floor. No mark of violence. Exactly like suicide. And you'll be out of my life forever.
Can't. You can't possibly mean...
Oh, but I can, my dear. I do.
Martin! Darling, I...
Well, now it's Martin, darling.
We can talk this over, Martin, can't we? Don't put that hideous thing on your face, Martin!
That's a present suicide. Come, Helen.
Martin, you don't mean this. You're joking. That's it. This is one of your jokes. It's a wonderful joke. You can stop now. I almost fell for it. Martin!
Come, Helen.
Martin, listen, don't... You can keep the alimony. I don't want it. Martin, please. I was always good to you, wasn't I? I always took care of you. Remember when we were married on our honeymoon, what fun we had. Remember, don't. Listen to me. You can't do it. You can't. You can't. You can't.
Come.
Can't. No, no. Please, Mom. Please.
And your lovely head held above the gas jet. Radio tuned to cover any screams.
Martin, please.
Ah. Yes, turned on, now the final step.
Martin! No!
10 minutes, and you'll be unconscious. 20, and you'll be dead. Tomorrow they'll find you. No marks, a suicide, your ex-husband far away on a pleasant fishing trip. No one suspects it.
Breathe, dear, breathe gently. Sleep.
Do you promise to love, honor, and obey this woman till death do you part? I do. Till death do us part. Helen? Helen? Goodbye, my dear. Goodbye. Forever.
Before we continue with Act Two of The Circular Staircase, here is Len Sterling. Can you help it if millions of human beings die for want of food? Throughout liberated Europe and Asia today, in the grim aftermath of total war, millions of people are homeless and starving. And millions will die of starvation if you cannot help them. But you can. We are dedicated in the cause of liberty and justice to do what we can to help them in their time of suffering. Yes, you can help them. You can reduce your use of wheat and rice products, fats and oils. Eliminate all food waste. Turn in all used fats. Keep your victory garden producing. Your help can mean the difference between starvation and life for millions. The campaign to share a meal and save a life has begun in communities throughout the nation. The success of the campaign depends upon your cooperation. Share a meal and save a life.
Now, once again, the quiet hour of the night. The lamplit library waits. The book lies open on the table.
The Circular Staircase by Mary Roberts Reinhardt.
Continue, Miss Reinhardt.
They lead him down the winding steel band of the circular staircase. Down the chlorine-smelling corridor to the doctor's office. They open the door of the office, and he stands there a moment, uncertainly. Then, slowly, deliberately, he goes to the leather couch, lies down on the couch, and rolls up his sleeves. They close the door, and he is alone with the doctor.
Martin? Yes, sir. You want to continue with the treatment?
Yes.
You do this voluntarily, without coercion. That's understood.
Yes, Doctor.
Very well. Pull your sleeve a little higher.
Doctor.
Yes?
I slept better last night.
Pull your sleeve higher, Martin.
Yes, sir.
Oh. Begin counting, Martin.
99, 98, 97, 96.
All right, Martin. We're ready to talk. What happened after you took off the gas mask? What happened to your wife?
I waited till her body slumped to the floor. I waited till she was wonderfully dead.
What did you do then?
I walked out of the house. I buried the gas mask. I was a free man.
Go on, Martin.
I was rid of her. I was really free. I moved to another city. I forgot she ever existed. In a year, my stories were selling. My life was beginning again. In a year, I met Judy. In 1 year, I was reborn to a new world. Ah, Judy. Judy, it's all so perfect for you. It's like being born all over again.
Is it, Martin?
It's like there was nothing before. Only Judy and Martin. Martin and Judy.
Silly.
I mean it.
Silly.
We'll go on like this for always. We'll be the two happiest people ever. We'll be married and live near a wide, lazy river.
Married? Well, we've just become engaged.
Well, we love each other. Why should we wait?
So I can get to know you better?
You know me. I'm Martin. I came from a dark, horrible place where people hated each other. And I came into a light place where I found Judy.
Martin.
You will marry me right away, won't you, Judy? I'll...
What's the matter, Martin? What's the matter?
That woman sitting at the bar.
What?
That woman. That's Helen.
What?
Helen. That's Helen, but it can't be. It can't be.
Martin, what are you talking about?
Helen, she's come back to life again. She's dead, but she's come back to life.
Stop it. Stop it.
You'll have to be quiet.
Helen, wait!
Sir, I'll have to ask you a question.
She's gone! I gotta find her! Gotta find her! Helen! Helen! Helen!
Go on, Martin.
Helen came back. Helen came back to life.
How?
I don't know.
How did Helen come back to life, Martin?
I don't know. I killed her, but she came back to life. I saw her.
How did she come back?
I don't know. I don't know, but she came back. I saw her in the restaurant. She was there.
She wasn't, Martin. She wasn't.
Judy, I tell you that was Helen in the restaurant. I tell you that was Helen.
Martin, darling, look at me. We're both grown up. We both know Helen committed suicide over a year ago. I don't know who you saw tonight, but it wasn't Helen.
It was her way of dressing, her way of holding a drink. Even that terrible smile of hers was the same.
Martin.
Yes, Judy.
You've been working too hard lately.
I know.
Imagination plays funny tricks on a tired mind, darling.
Maybe you're right.
You need a vacation, Martin.
Maybe.
Darling. Yes.
Yes.
You love me?
Oh, Judy.
You think we could make that vacation a honeymoon?
Judy.
Could we, Martin?
Judy, you mean it? You really mean it?
I mean it, Martin.
Oh, baby, baby.
Look, no more of this talk about Helen.
No. No more, Helen.
Promise.
Promise. You'll never from this day on hear Helen's name again.
Thank you.
Yes, Doctor.
You promised never to say Helen's name again.
I kept my promise. And after a while, I forgot about Helen in the wonderful days with Judy. We planned our wedding and a beautiful, never-ending honeymoon.
You married Judy?
I married Judy on the first day of May.
Then, Martin?
Then we went on the honeymoon. I was the happiest man in all the world. Happiest man in the world.
How do you do, happiest man?
I do just fine, and you?
The happiest girl.
Ah, Judy, Judy, Judy.
Martin, darling.
This is forever, isn't it?
Forever and ever.
Let's drive on and on for 100 years, shall we?
At least.
We can grow old and gray together, and you'll always be beautiful.
And you'll always be handsome.
Judy, I'm going to kiss you.
I? Hey, wait. 2 hands on the wheel, mister. The gates are down at the railroad crossing.
Oh, good. We'll have to wait for the train. Thanks, railroad, for allowing the groom to kiss the bride.
Idiot.
I hope it's a swell break. Hey, can't you come a little closer, Bride?
I'm positively crushing you today.
No, you're not. You're...
What is it, Martin?
Look, that car over there. The other side of the crossing, that woman in the car.
What woman?
That woman. Don't you see her? That's Helen.
No, Martin, no.
That's Helen. I tell you, that's Helen.
Stop it, darling. Stop it.
I'll kill you, Helen. I'll kill you. I'll get you this time. I'll get you this time for good.
Go on, Martin.
We escaped with our lives somehow. But after that, there was no life for Judy and me. I kept seeing Helen everywhere.
Where, Martin?
Everywhere. We'd go to a movie. There she was coming up the aisle. We'd go to a new restaurant. There she was at a table just out of reach. We moved to another city, but it was always the same. I'd see her in a car passing by. I'd see her when I walked down the street. I'd wake up in the middle of the night. Judy, she was in this room.
Martin.
I tell you, she was in this room. Turn on the light, Judy. She was here, all right.
Martin.
Yeah.
I've had enough of this. I'm going to leave you.
She was over there by the door.
Martin, listen to me.
She wore that awful green dress that I hate, that sickly green.
Martin.
Yeah?
I said I'm going to leave you. It's time for good.
What? No. No, you can't do that, Judy. Judy, where are you going?
I'm
going to
get my suitcase.
No, no. No, you can't leave me. You can't.
I'm sorry. Really, I am.
No, no, Judy, you don't understand. I can't be alone. That's just what she wants, to get me alone.
Oh, Martin.
You see what I mean? She's just waiting till I'm all by myself. She's right out there waiting.
I can't help you. I wish I could.
Look, Judy. If you must go, all right, but not now. Wait till morning. Judy, don't leave me here at night. Wait till morning.
No, Mom.
Judy, don't, please. Just wait till morning. Don't leave me, Judy. Don't leave me. Don't leave me, Judy. Judy, don't leave me,
please.
Judy left me. I was alone with that terror just outside waiting for me. I lay in bed trembling. And I couldn't stand it anymore.
Go on, Martin.
I got out of bed and dressed. I ran to the dining room and poured myself a drink. And then another. And another. And suddenly I knew what I had to do. I had to get out in the street. Be with people. Lose myself in the crowds.
Yes, Martin.
I ran from the house. I ran along the streets. But there were no crowds. No one was in the streets. I ran and ran, hoping to find someone, anyone. But there was nothing. Not even the sound of traffic. I stood still in the entrance. Panting. Sweat pouring out of me. And then
Then I heard one sound. Footsteps. Ellen's footsteps following me down the street. I turned to look, but there was no one behind me, nothing. Except those footsteps coming closer and closer. Ellen. Is that you? Ellen? Ellen? Is that you? Ellen? Oh, come on, if it's you, Helen, come on, show yourself. Come on, I'm not afraid of you. Come on, I'm not afraid of you. Come on, show yourself.
She almost caught me, but I ran like the wind. I lost those terrible footsteps, and I kept running. I had to find some place where she couldn't come after me. I saw a cheap hotel. I got myself a room, raced up the stairs, and slammed the door shut. I sat on the bed, panting, waiting, listening. I didn't have long to wait. Oh, Helen, Helen, go away, please. Go away. Please, won't you go away? Oh.
Hello, Martin.
Helen, stay away, stay away.
Come, Martin.
Oh, don't you dare stay away. Don't touch me.
Come.
No, don't touch me. Don't touch me.
Come, Martin.
No, no, no.
Come, Martin.
Don't touch me. Don't touch me.
I'm not. I don't
have to. Don't touch me. Let me out. Help me, Lord. Someone help me. Help me. Lord, someone help me. Please, please, Lord. Someone help me.
Martin. Oh, won't someone help me, please. Martin, please, please, someone help me. Come on, Martin. Come out of it. It's over. Huh? What? It's over. You've been asleep. You're awake now. Oh, how do you feel?
I feel rested.
Feel as if... Yes. Doctor. That woman sitting next to you. That woman.
Yes, Martin.
That's Helen. She's sitting right there. That's Helen. She's alive.
Yes, Martin. I'm alive.
She's talking to you. Hear that?
Doctor, get me out of here. Get me out.
You stay right on that couch, Martin. If you get violent, I'll put you under a string.
But you heard her. She's dead and she's talking.
Lie down, Martin. Don't move one inch from that couch.
She's dead. I killed her.
You let thought she killed me, Martin.
Don't move.
Stop her. Don't let her go.
You thought she killed me,
Martin.
You made one terrible mistake.
I want to stop her, please.
One mistake that saved my life. You wouldn't pay my alimony. Remember, Martin?
Stop it.
You were so rotten and so cheap that I owed money to everyone in town. I couldn't pay my bills, Martin. I couldn't even pay my gas bill, Martin. What the... I couldn't pay my debt. The morning of the day you came to see me, the gas company turned off the gas.
No. Oh, no. Stay where you are, Martin.
He held my head over the jet. And when I knew what had happened, I knew I could live if you thought I was dead. I died realistically, didn't I, Martin? I died a thousand deaths in my life with you, Martin. But I determined to make you tough in this game, and I succeeded, haven't I, Martin? I really succeeded.
Help me turn off this light. Don't help me turn off the gas.
The gas company turned off the gas. Did you hear that, Doc?
don't care. All right, men. Come and get him.
The dead come inside of the dead!
Circular Staircase by Mary Roberts Rinehart, a pocketbook mystery. Now, in the quiet hours of the night, the lamplit library dim. The book lies closed on the table. And out of the book has come a story of hate and terrible revenge. Tonight, the book was The Circular Staircase by Mary Roberts Rinehart. Miss Rinehart, will you introduce the author of next week's story?
Next week, the listeners to the Pocketbook Mysteries are in for a special thrill. The most popular author of the pocketbook series will be on hand to tell one of his fascinating stories. You know it as The Bride Wore Black. And you know the author as Mr. Cornell Woolworth.
Thank you, Miss Rinehart. The Bride Wore Black has always been a personal favorite with me. And many gracious readers of pocketbooks have written in to say that it also is one of theirs. It's a story of a beautiful woman whose voice softly whispers to men,
I love you. I love you.
While all the time her mind is deciding,
I've got to kill him. I've got to kill him.
Next week, Cornell Woolrich telling a story so emotionally gripping, so terrifying in its spine-chilling action that we urge only the strong in heart to listen. Next week, Cornell Woolrich telling the story he prefers to call The Bride Wore Black, a pocketbook mystery. In tonight's story, Martin was John Sylvester. Others in the cast were Elspeth Eric, Mary Mason, Walter Vaughn, Barbara Weeks, Barry Kroger, Martin Blaine, Eugene Kern, Estelle Dodge, and Byron McGrath. Tonight's story was adapted for radio by Louis Pelletier and Jack Anson Fink and was directed by Betty Mandeville. The orchestra was conducted by Ray Block with original music by Gus Levine. Don't forget to tune in again next week for The Bride Wore Black, another chilling story, another thrilling pocketbook mystery. This is Len Sterling speaking. And this is the Mutual Broadcasting System.